Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org. That's the website. I'm there right now. I want free power from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, you'll get it. You can get free power. Or you know what's even better is you can chip in. There's a donate button. You can do single donation. You can do join the Dollar a Day Club. There's all sorts of things you can do. It's great fun. And also, there is the Co-Certified app. And that is real fun there. Is that my Co-Certified app notifying me? Wow. That is just great. So I will be taking calls today, and my on-air call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Okay, so lots of stuff that's going on. An update in the Pittsburgh case that I was talking about with Professor Sloan yesterday. Apparently, the second teen who had run from the police has been arrested. So, yesterday, you know, one speculation was, well, maybe the boy Antoine Rose was a good boy. Everybody says he was a good boy, and he looks cute in his picture, so he's smiling, and also maybe he's a good boy. Well, then the question becomes, why was he hanging around with, why would a good boy, and maybe there's an answer. I'm asking not rhetorically, but why was this good boy hanging around with Zai Juan Hester, also aged 17? He was arrested last night, apparently, around 11:30 p.m. He had cut off his ankle bracelet from a prior case. So he was out on an ankle bracelet. Okay, charges against Hester for the June 19 drive-by shooting were filed. It was misspelled here. Were filed Wednesday morning. That's this morning. He is charged with aggravated assault, criminal homicide, receiving stolen property and firearms charges. Now, I don't, you know, regarding the drive-by shooting, the person who had been shot 13 minutes earlier, as from what I've been able to learn, had been released from the hospital, so was not, so that wouldn't be criminal homicide. Criminal homicide, somebody has to die, right? I mean, it's not attempted homicide. Criminal homicide, wouldn't all homicide be criminal? I don't know. But criminal homicide, so is that why he was wearing an ankle bracelet? Like he had killed somebody and they said, okay, we'll wear this ankle bracelet and, you know, we'll talk to you after we get done processing, you know, a million illegal alien migrants or something. I don't know what the story there is. Receiving stolen property, well, that doesn't sound like what he was doing on that ride in the jitney. So these, I suppose, would be previous charges. Maybe not. Anyway, minutes after the drive-by shooting, a car matching the vehicle's description was stopped by East Pittsburgh police. You know, they keep saying this, the car matching the vehicle's description, a car. Like, you know, there's lots of cars that would match the description. No, this was the car that was in the drive-by shooting. It had bullet holes in the back window, okay? It was the car that was in the drive-by shooting. They keep saying it matches the car, right? Just like they keep saying unarmed at the time. Unarmed at the time of the shooting. Well, because he was not unarmed 3 seconds earlier, unless you want to say maybe he had run out of ammunition and that therefore he was unarmed. Nothing that the police responding would know about. Okay. Rose, 17, was shot to death by Officer Michael Rossfeld as he and a second passenger, later identified as Hester, this Zijuan Hester, ran from the car. Hester is being held at the Schumann Juvenile Detention Center, or whatever that is. Okay. The Rose shooting remains under investigation by county police. No charges have been filed. Actually, I think charges were just filed this morning, and I believe those are homicide charges. I'm looking at Action News, Action News 4. Must be very exciting, Action News. So, I just wanted to update you, and I had, you know, I had questions. I am, you know, if they keep saying that, the boy who died, Antoine Rose, if they keep saying he's a good boy, it's like, okay, all right, let's assume he's a good boy. Then I have these questions, right? Can we expect other good boys to participate in drive-by shootings, right? You know, if you're going to say, all right, this person got good grades, and therefore let's have him, he's got good grades and he's a good boy, so let's put him in Harvard or Pomona University or whatever, a nice school with your sons and daughters. Or let's put them in the public high school with your sons and daughters. If good boys go out and do drive-by shootings, maybe do we need to rethink a lot of things? I mean, if these are good boys and good boys do these things, do we want, I mean, isn't it fair for people to say, I don't know if I really want to have my kids in a classroom with that good boy, because you're telling me that good boys, you know, one of the things that good boys do is go out and shoot people, or, you know, in the best case scenario I'm not trying to speak ill of the deceased, and I'm sincere when I say I'm willing to say, okay, he was a good boy. Well, all right. I mean, you could have the scenario. A lot of teenage boys do things they shouldn't do. Very few go out on the drive-by shooting, but you know, did he know what he was getting into? I mean, to be the most charitable possible, to be as charitable as possible, maybe he really didn't know what he was getting into, and the shooting happened, and maybe he was like, oh my God, what did you do? And then the car gets stopped, and he says, and the boy ran, and, you know, the Zai Jal or whatever his name was, Zai Juan ran, and Antoine followed him. Well, even if that's the case, you say, okay, I feel sorry for Antoine, but still, how can you blame the police officer for that? All right. Here's a new story on it. Antoine Rose, according to the district attorney, Antoine Rose didn't do anything in North Braddock other than be in that vehicle. Well. But still, how would that... So, and, you know, like I said, I'm willing to believe that, but still, it, other than being in that vehicle and running from police when the car has been stopped and detained, and when he knows why, he would know full well why. Now, he's 17 years old, and you can understand kids making mistakes, and these are huge mistakes. But so if even in the best case scenario, these are huge mistakes, and you can't blame the mistakes on the policemen, okay? If these people are going to be protesting, they should be protesting against the ankle bracelet cutting off, what is it, felonious homicide, Zai Juan, what's his name? They should be protesting against that, for that guy, for dragging, if this Rose kid was such a good boy, don't let your don't let these criminals drag your good boys around. But no, that's not what they're saying. So anyway, I'm going to keep on top of this. You know, we'll see how it goes. All right. We've got the immigration issue, and I don't think this is going to turn out the way the pro-immigration people want it to turn out. I think they're really making mistakes, tactical mistakes, which is a good thing. They're pushing it so hard, and can anybody who's paying any attention not say, wait a minute, they just want to bring in as many people as possible, make it as easy as possible to bring in infinite numbers of these people who have nothing to offer us and who only, who wind up being a massive burden on the welfare system, on the medical system. Remember, these people are genetically predisposed to, either genetically or culturally, they're certainly predisposed to diabetes, which is very expensive to treat. A massive burden on the public education system. And unfortunately, on the criminal justice system, they're just a massive burden. If you are to complain about it, you're a Nazi. And they're just pushing so hard on it. And what had been last year and much of this year forecast as being the blue wave, the midterm elections, where the Democrats would take control of the House of Representatives, which would at least get the impeachment process, get it an impeachment, whether they would be able to get a conviction in the Senate, which would require 67 votes, would be another issue. But you never know. There's the way things stand now, there's plenty of traitorous anti-Trump, potentially anti-Trump senators out there. But after a blue wave election, well, yeah, Trump could very easily be impeached. He could very easily then be put in prison. Who knows? But that doesn't seem to be as much in the cards anymore. The polling data seems to indicate that the Democrats may not make any gains at all. And if they keep on carrying on the way they are, they're very likely going to have major losses. And I've never been a partisan cheerleader for the Republicans in the past, because they've always been basically just as hopeless in their own way. But Trump is in the process of converting the party. And of course, Trump's not the be-all and end-all, and people call up and make very legitimate complaints about Trump. And a lot of people see him as being as having sold out. And some people see him as having been part of the plan all along. I don't go with either of those analyses. I think he's made lots of mistakes. He's made enough mistakes that people could think that he's a sellout or that he was part of the plan all along. But when you look at the massive hysteria that is in the Jewish media right now, the Zio media, in the political establishment, massive hysteria over Donald Trump and the unprecedented means that they're resorting to in order to thwart him and try to remove him, it couldn't be part of any plan. There's no need for a plan like that. I have a call from Sherry from Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Slattery.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. On Wednesday mornings, another RBN broadcaster has James McCanney on. And James McCanney is a independent scientist. He doesn't get funding from the government projects, and he travels around the world a lot. Right now he's trying to get his wing generator, which is a different kind of wind generator than, you know, the three-blade things. But he travels mm-hmm. around the third world a lot because that's where he's doing some of these projects. And he gave an amazing statistic to me this morning. He said that Mexico's population has doubled in the last 10 years.
And he intimated, no, it wouldn't have doubled in the last 10 years, but it, I don't know where that could be. There's, well, I'll let you continue.
He said there's a similar population growth in other, you know, Central and South American countries. But, I mean, I found that hard to believe myself, but I know that they do have a lot of population growth, and they are using the United States as a pressure relief valve for it.
Well, that's absolutely correct there. The Mexican population, you know, these are not always reliable figures, but the official figures, it's 127.5 million. Now, in 1970, it was about 52 million. So it's more than doubled since 1970. And that's pretty significant growth rate. It is growing. It's growing pretty fast. But doubled over 10 years, that would be pretty difficult to double a population over 10 years.
Well, I thought it was pretty amazing, but he does, he also said that there's a lot of 13-year-old mothers down there also. So, you know, it's, he didn't really substantiate that, but I know he does travel a lot, and he lives among the people generally when he does, you know. And he's always traveled a lot in third world countries. He actually taught in Mexico, I think between when he graduated from college and before he went for his master. So anyway, anyway, that's all I had for in. Do you know what the number of the bill is, this amnesty bill they're trying to pass today?
What's the number of it?
Yeah.
No, I don't. It's not too hard to find. Well, I mean, it's.
Yeah,
I might be able to find it over the break and report it back to you.
Or somebody might, who knows, might call in. I heard an Allopat guy on Jeff Rentz last night, but he never did give the number of the bill that I heard. So.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on the break, but I will look for it over the break. And I'll say it after the break. How's that? Okay, I'll be back after the break. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. its database of products not kosher certified, is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. And let's see, I think the bill is H.R. 3219. I believe that would be the one. That is the Make America Secure Appropriations Act. I'm not 100% sure that's it, though. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's something else. There's also a H.R. 392. That was offered up last year. That is an immigration bill. So I did my best looking in the 3 minutes that we weren't on the air. I'd like to welcome William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, William. How you doing?
Pretty good. I've been taking a vacation from all of this, just because there's a lot of things happening in Montana, and I've been attending to them. But I've also been very interested in some of the behind-the-scenes machinations in Russia and in Washington, D.C., at putting together this, you know, anticipated talk between Putin and Trump, and apparently just today, supposedly, the details of this, you know, anticipated meeting is going to be revealed tomorrow. That's what.
And has the date been revealed yet? Is it really going to happen?
Well, it's very. If you watch it, I mean, you could go and look at 10 different announcements pertaining to this, and on both sides, it's extremely guarded. You know, the details of it, because, you know, it's going to be very interesting to watch how this is rolled out, and it's going to be very interesting to watch the uproar about, oh, my God, you know, he he's going to actually meet with Putin, you know, the great evil. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that today the person chosen to land in Moscow set the stage for this was John Bolton.
Yes. What does that mean?
It's hard to say what that means, because, John Bolton has said very recently, that, Putin was, forming the head of the snake of the new axis of evil, which somehow he says, he's in cahoots or he's calling the shots of Iran and North Korea. So, but it's, I would love to be a fly on the wall to sort of see, he won't be meeting with Putin, John. He'll be meeting with Lavrov. But there was an announcement by, one of, Putin's officials saying that the details of this meeting will be revealed on Thursday, tomorrow. And also, if you listen to, wind of this, apparently lots of indicators are happening in Washington, D.C., that this meeting is going ahead. And when people have asked, people like Pompeo, what's going on here, he said, I'm not really aware of President's schedule, so I really can't say, which is probably very disingenuous that Pompeo isn't aware of the president's schedule on such an important issue. Mm-hmm. But it's been very interesting watching. I always pay attention to what is not getting into the news. Things that I have heard that are happening in Europe and in particularly Russia, that there's just a complete memory. I mean, it's just been, these things that happen are not even reported in any media here in the West. And one of the things, I see many things that indicate that, investment in Russia from Europe and even in the United States has really grown. And mm-hmm. their economic situation there is incredible. I mean, it's every week I hear more news about these. I think Russia now is number five in terms of this, investment index. Mm-hmm. They moved up like 15 in the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something, we're basically told, and many times I see in the Western press that, Russia is on the ropes because these sanctions are really starting. And everything that I see indicates that the exact opposite.
Right. I mean, if you look at the Russian ETFs, the equity or the exchange traded funds,
right,
they really have not gone down.
Not at all.
They haven't really risen much. They've kind of gone up and down a little bit, but they have held pretty steady over the past 18 months since Trump's election, in spite of all of this, the sanctions and the Russian hoax.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be going to break in a second, but I would hope that you'll be able to stay on and continue talking to me after the break.
Sure, I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show, National People Radio. Patrick Slattery, and I'm talking to William from Montana. I was just talking about the exchange-traded funds, which are based on the Russian stock market, which really haven't fallen off much. And I understand that since these sanctions went into effect a few years ago, President Putin has pursued a policy of import substitution, whereas before the sanctions, they were making plenty of money from gas and oil, and so they just bought a bunch of consumer goods from Western Europe. But since the sanctions, they, instead of buying cheese or blue jeans or whatever, they've been making their own consumer goods, and actually their economy is fundamentally stronger now than it was before the sanctions. Do you think this is the case?
Yeah, and I've seen many cases where, like agriculture in Russia has just boomed ahead. A lot of commerce between Russia and India, of course, Russia and China, and many of the European countries, especially some of the Eastern European countries, have really increased their imports of Russian goods.
I think even Italy, even before the election, I think Italy was very anxious for improving trade relations with Russia.
And they have been doing it behind the scenes. But, I mean, just agriculture is booming. We always hear about oil and gas, but agriculture is booming. And also technology exports have really gone up. I have one article I'm working on that actually shows a lot of increase because the technology and this is like computer software, manufacturing, computer-assisted manufacturing, that is all just, you know, like 20, 30, 40% gains in those exports. So we always hear about gas and oil, but we don't hear about just how much progress has been made in Russia penetrating other markets in spite or behind or beneath the sanctions. I thought it was ludicrous that the United States is now making noises about, you know, Russia has to produce more oil and gas to make up for the loss from the sanctions being reapplied to Iran. And here we are, like, you are sanctioned, but you've got to do our bidding because we need your help, or otherwise oil prices are going to skyrocket.
Right.
And this is really funny in the Russian press. I mean, people are just, you know, they just say, you know, you can't make this stuff up, you know.
And now, you follow the Russian press.
Very, very closely, as much as I can.
Okay. Have you followed the pension, like the pension reform issue?
Yeah, the pension, you know, like every subject is complex. And, you know, so from the Western press, you get like, oh, they're going to really sock it to the pensioners. They're going to raise the pensions age. And this is just shows, you know, that Putin doesn't care about his people. But if you go into the details of that, you find out that, you know, I think that for women, you know, the retirement age was like 60. And for men, I think it was 62 or... And they're talking about raising it, you know, more comparable to ours here in the United States, but over, you know, maybe an 8 to 10 year period. So this is
It deserves mention that the Russian life expectancy, especially for men, has increased greatly since Vladimir Putin became president.
You know, by quite a bit. I also have that somewhere in my files. I mean, because healthcare, and also Russia, in terms of, you know, healthcare providing for people, especially for young families, and for, you know, the family is really emphasized now. That became a big thing over the last 10 years, and the medical support for young families, for childbirth, child health, infancy mortality has just basically dropped virtually to zero. We're under the communist, you know, regimes. That was really, you know, slighted. Another interesting thing is that the amount of money and support in terms of medical, support medical treatment, and also the amount, you know, in a comparative way, you know, based on the income in Russia is actually quite high when compared to some of our, you know, if you add into how much they charge seniors for medical insurance and uncovered medical costs and stuff like that, there really isn't any, you know, real comparison. I mean, the seniors do much better, I think, in Russia than what's, you know, especially seniors here in the United States that don't have other sources of income after retirement. And so, you know, that's, you know, whereas it was reported like, oh, they're really going to sock it to the seniors. Well, the seniors actually, especially when it comes to, you know, the biggest problem for seniors in the United States is being destroyed by uncovered medical costs. That just doesn't happen.
I'm looking right now at the World Bank data, and they show that in 2000, or, you know, I guess President Yeltsin resigned in the end of 1999, so Putin became president in 2000. The Russian life expectancy was 65, and by 2015, it had risen to 71.
I know.
So it was like 5.5, 6 year difference in just 15 years. And so if you're going to be living a lot longer, hey, I'm willing to work a little bit longer in order to live a lot longer. That sounds like a good deal to me.
Mm-hmm. And also wages have gone up in those 10 years. And again, I don't have it right here in front of me, but it's gone up considerably. And what the perceived job security and also the perceived hope for the future, those numbers have risen greatly. So, you know, we're in the West, this was portrayed as, wow, they're really hurting. In Russia, this is seen as just a healthy development when taken in consideration all the other things that are happening. I wanted to say one thing about, you know, this going back to this meeting with Bolton being chosen as the front guy to go over there and sort of possibly set up, you know, finalize the details of this long-anticipated meeting. It's interesting that reading the Russian press, you know, I don't have very, very good feelings about Bolton, neocon, war hawk, you know, totally mm-hmm. off the wall. But it's interesting in the Russian press, they know that he is no friend. He's an arch hawk in the Trump administration, and they know that he's not really has the greatest feelings towards Putin and Russia. But they said it's actually one of the best choices because they don't see Bolton as, you know, being, you know, with the same negativity that I view him. They said, you know where this guy is coming from, and he really is going to be in keeping with the flavor of how Russians like to, you know, they like to get things out on the table. And they really, some of the commentators that I've followed said, actually, this is going to be a very interesting thing because, you know, Bolton obviously influences Trump. We saw this in, you know, his meetings in North Korea and stuff. But
probably. I want to ask you, though.
Sure.
How did we see it in his meetings in North Korea? Where was Bolton's influence there?
Well, I mean, he was advising, like in the news.
He's at the table.
Yeah, he was also advising Trump on how to handle this, and not giving up, you know, not being conciliatory, you know, being demanding and stuff like that. And I think that, just two articles that I read yesterday by some of these commentators in Russia said, you know, this is a good person to have here because it's going to get down to, you know, right off the top. I mean, they know how he thinks. They've seen him in action over a long period of time. And so they know this guy. And they said they felt, one commentator said, if Bolton sort of, you know, jumps the gun and starts doing something that that Trump doesn't want, he will probably go the same way as some of these other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were comparing. They said, you know, Steve Bannon failed, and they were saying, you know, they had great hopes, you know, after the election, but you know, Steve Bannon just couldn't pull it off. You know, of course, you know. Like I say, it's going to be very interesting to see the uproar when this meeting is announced because it's like any meeting, any communication with Putin or Russia in the West is being portrayed as, you know, treason. And
now,
it's going to be very interesting.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I understand that there are those in Russia, in the political class, who don't think that it's a good idea for Putin to meet with Trump because Trump has, you know, no support from the American elite, from the American political class. So many of them are out for his scalp.
sure.
and all of that hair attached to it. And that, you know, they feel that what would be the point in negotiating a deal with Trump if Trump's not going to be able to deliver on it. Is that
they
something
say,
you come across
yeah,
that?
They do say that, but one of the things that they usually come back to is it's better to be talking than not talking,
mm-hmm.
because this is a very dangerous situation. And, you know, especially with the movement in Eastern, Central European countries with NATO pushing right up to the border. And they say, you know, when you have NATO and all these different coalitions right there at the border doing all these, you know, military maneuvers, the chances for a mistake or some type of unintended consequences is high. And if you don't have this well-established communication links, even though it's contentious, it's a very dangerous situation. And they believe that in some ways, you know, Putin is one of, you know, Trump's last allies. You know, I mean, he has gone down the list and alienated himself from many of the, you know, G7 mm-hmm. countries. And Putin is very smart, and he's also very open to discussions. And in many ways, like I said, some of these commentators say, if you have someone like John Bolton, who's obviously a American first, you know, I don't think he's American first. Maybe he's
no.
more Israel first.
Yeah, absolutely. But
but at least
that's
it's out
America
in the open.
First is a misperception of some people in Russia, I suppose, then, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, one of the things that I get from some of these commentators that I follow in Russia is that the level of sophistication of this discussion is, you know, unbelievably complex. I mean, they have
above what we have in our on our cable news networks,
yeah.
right?
Well, I mean, like I say, you know, when they have a press conference, you know, sometimes I read through these things, and they're 3 hours long, and you never get this stuff like, okay, I'll have someone in my office get back to you. If one of their people, you know, were to say that to one of these reporters, I'll have someone call you. They'll say, like, why are you having a press conference if you don't have answers? And if you don't have this sophisticated answer that we're looking for, we're not looking for a soundbite. And so when you ask the question, like, well, how do they feel about John Bolton? Well, you could go and compile a whole article on how they feel. There is a breadth of opinions, but it just has a degree of sophistication that you just don't see here. It's not mm-hmm. Either or, and so they always see this as an incremental process. This isn't like
right. I want to ask you about. So it's been my feeling that, for instance, you brought up North Korea and Kim and the Trump-Kim meeting. I think both Trump and Kim have plenty of cards that are easy for them to play, things
sure.
that they could give to the other side, and it means a lot more to the other side than it means to the side giving it up. And with Kim, it was easy for him to suspend testing, missile and nuclear testing. That was something that was easy for him. And it's easy for Trump, you know, and there's other things. You know, he can give back the remains of soldiers. The only reason that this hasn't happened is because of the unnecessary rupture in communication, the most basic communications.
Right.
I tend to think that there's a lot that Putin could do for Trump and vice versa. What do you see as being the agenda? I agree. I think Putin could be a very valuable political ally for Trump, who doesn't see a lot of allies in the G7. What do you think is going to be on the agenda? What do you think Putin and Trump are going to try to get out of this?
Well, I think that, you know, like I say, in all the articles I've read on both sides of the ocean, you know.
Excuse me, we're going to the next break, but please hang on.
Okay.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. And so I was asking you about the agenda for this meeting that hopefully is going to take place. William, are you still there? Yeah.
Yes. I go back to some of the commentators I've been following closely, and one of the interesting things that they feel about Bolton is they know him, and even though he's like a, you know, hawk and a neocon and all this stuff, he said that, you know, one of the things that he's been sent there to do is to get down to the nitty-gritty about this situation in Syria. You know, the United States and Trump would love to get out of there. I mean, it's starting to be, they're starting to be pulled back in. And it's something, one of the things that I, and it's interesting that the Russians actually don't think of Trump as being surrounded and just a puppet. They keep saying that, you know, Bolton really is on the payroll, you know, and Trump is the boss. And, you know, we, many of us say, you know, oh, no, you know, he's, the neocons have taken over, you know, Trump. But they don't feel that way. And they believe that, you know, one of the things that that is necessary is for the United States and Russia to work together. And one of the benefits that could happen is for the Russians to help Trump try to ease his way out of Syria, you know. And yet you and I know that one of the reasons why we're still in Syria is because there are very influential people, the neocons.
And John Bolton's Facebook friends.
Yeah. And they are saying, hey, you got to stay in Syria. And as a matter of fact, we want you next to go into Iran. And I think Trump knows that both of those situations and that pressure needs to find some type of valve, you know, some type of release. And Putin holds the keys to that. And so, and what can Putin get? Oh, there's the music. We'll have to continue
some
other
time. What can he get?
One of the things he can get is to have an open channel and to begin the stage, setting the stage so that Trump and Putin can talk without Trump being seen as, you know, committing treason.
Yeah, that is kind of the only thing that you can think of that John Bolton would serve a good purpose at. He is kind of protection in a little bit that way. Hey, yep. Thanks so much for calling, and please feel free to call anytime. I love talking to you, William.
Patrick.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.